Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jeff Dunphy. It is Friday, January 23rd, 2015, and this is Retooling for Our Coming of Age. I'd like to start today with Global Economic Review. We chatted last week about some soft and warm personal introspective things to do, and today we're going to chat a little about the economy. We're going to chat about slowing economic growth. We're going to chat about how the powers that be in the various places on the planet respond to and act in a manner that clearly is not in anyone's best interest but their own. Now, that being said, let us chat about what has transpired with the various central banks around the planet. Now, as you all know, the U.S. Fed have been printing money as fast as they could, but they have suggested that they're going to slow down a bit. And then what they do is, when we're slowing down, what we have to do is make everybody else print money. I want to put it in simple terms, because there's often the opportunity for my listeners to be able to explain this in really simple terms, and it's imperative, because unless it makes sense, I've done you a disservice because I haven't explained it correctly, and unless it can be shared with others, it does everybody a disservice, because our objective is to turn the lights on for people. Okay, we're very heavily in debt. And in order for us to get out of debt, we need to borrow more money. That's the lunacy of it. Now, by the borrowing of more money, we want to think if we can borrow money, it will help the economy. That's the thinking behind it. And as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, the borrowing of more money in all of the economies on the planet has not resulted in any significant changes in the economic health. In fact, all it's doing is devaluing the currencies. So if we had $1 trillion worth of money floating around, and we decided to print 3.5 more trillion, and we now have $4.5 trillion worth of money around, you would think that the $4.5 trillion worth of money is worth less, because it is split up into 4.5 trillion units instead of 1 trillion units. So what is happening globally is the economies are very stagnant and slow. And the manner in which everybody's thinking they can help the economies is by printing money, which, as we've seen, is akin to lunacy. And in fact, I've used this analogy before. It's like leaping off a cliff and flapping your arms and deluding yourself into thinking that you can fly. And because the horizon is so far away, you can't see that it's coming at you in breakneck speed, so you do give yourself the delusion that you are flying. And then when you start to realize, oh my goodness, I'm plummeting, you start to flap your arms faster. This is effectively what they're doing. So we have the U.S. Fed, we've got the Bank of Japan, we've got the Bank of England, and we also have the European Central Bank with Mario Draghi, who just suggested they would print a trillion euros, which is sort of $1.6 trillion. Okay, so there's the various reviewers and the various prognosticators on the global economy talk about the printing of money. It is the flapping of wings or the flapping of arms. It's an absolute ridiculous assumption to make. Okay, so everybody's printing money, and when somebody makes too much of a fuss about the states printing money, the Americans say, okay, well, we'll slow down and not worry anybody. We'll get England, or we'll get the European Central Bank, or we'll get the Bank of Japan to do this. And it is U.S., or rather it is the capital, the true capital behind who runs the U.S., that designs this and organizes it and orchestrates it. So all of this tends to increase the price of gold. Now, I want to point out a couple things. Is we've seen this happen in various countries throughout the history, and we've also seen it happen to empires throughout history, whether it was the Roman Empire, whether it was the British Empire, whether it was the French Republic. I mean, any of these times and spaces are fraught with, as soon as the empire starts to crumble, their currency starts to collapse as soon as they extricate their currency from being backed by gold or silver. Now, one of the things that happened in 08, in the collapse of 08, the mortgage collapse, the banking system in the U.S., but really it's the global banking system, it collapsed. So the U.S. Fed had to print a bunch of money and give it to the U.S. banking system because the banking system didn't have the capital. Now, what they did is they just printed a bunch of money and sort of shored it up with fiat money, which is a temporary fix. But now what's happened is that the banking industry in and of itself is even more indebted and even more precarious. So the U.S. Fed is also even more indebted and more precarious. So if the banking system now is even more in debt, and if the U.S. Treasury is technically insolvent, the next shoe to drop is the fact that various countries are going to start to go under. And this is going to do mind-boggling things to the price of gold. Price of gold will go through the roof in terms of everything. Now, it's presently gold is up between 8 and 10% in dollar terms and in euro terms, although I want to chat a little about the manipulation that we've seen in the last couple of days, okay? Now, that's the geopolitical thing, how we play the financing of various things. And I want to bring to a point here that we have seen over the course of the last several years, we have seen unbelievable amounts of geopolitical risk. And in all fairness, as some would say, and I have to agree with them, I don't think I've seen all as much geopolitical risk at any time in my life. And in fact, I would venture it probably we haven't seen this for thousands of years, because the world really in the last 40 or 50 years has become a very, very small place. And consequently, fiscal or economic or geopolitical or military contagion is now far more important and far more difficult to contain than it was many, many years ago. So when we saw the currency collapse in Zimbabwe, when we saw the currency collapse in Argentina, when we saw the currency collapse in Mexico and England and various places, it was less contagious and it was also less big. The collapse of the Argentinian currency, for example, had a dramatic effect, and a bunch of debtors had their debt wiped out. But we now have global debts to global debtors, and consequently this next shoe that drops is that everybody goes up the stump. Now, in terms of geopolitical risk, what we saw last Thursday, not yesterday, but two Thursdays ago, we saw, which is what Jim Rickards postulated some time ago, we saw the Russians, who have had their ruble destroyed. I mean, there's financial warfare going on, and the powers that be have taken the ruble and just destroyed it. It has fallen by 50 or 60% in the last 6, 8, 10, 12 months. I mean, it's just dropped dramatically. Now, what the Russians did is they shut off the gas supply to the Ukraine. And what they did was they did this to show that they have capacity to allow the Europeans, because most of the gas flows through the Ukraine into Europe, they have the capacity to have all the Europeans freeze to death in the dark because, I mean, there's no gas, no heat. And this was a shot across the bow, and it was a shot of the declaration, don't muck with us, because we'll cut off your gas. So when we have that, then we also have Russia and China playing. We've got the Ukraine playing. We have this nonsense in Paris, which was kind of a false flag by the Americans to sort of terrify the French into towing the line. I mean, that when you have a terrorist false flag event like this, the Americans say, see, you have to you have to toe the party line, and that is fight terrorism and you know, keep up the economic barriers and the economic warfare against the Russians. Because what was happening is the French were starting to lose their resolution about the economic sanctions against Russia, and they were starting to make noise about maybe we should continue our economic interaction with Russia. And the Americans got wind of this, and they set up a big terrorist account, a terrorist attack. So the French are now saying, we have to start a Department of Homeland Security in France, which again is just one of those lunatic things. So we have an unbelievably high and escalating, in all fairness, degree of uncertainty in the Middle East, in Syria, in Israel, in Iran. We've got the Russians and the Ukrainians, that playing itself out. We've got this nonsense in Paris. Let's pause for a moment and think. Let's give this a bit of attention, and that is this. Have we ever seen a time in history where the connectivity of the earth is such and where the contagion is so viral, potentially viral? Have we ever seen it at such a high rate in the history of what we could conventionally call our history? So we have the printing of trillions of dollars or euros or pounds or yen. We have the Swiss bank, the Swiss central bank or the Swiss national bank, last week said, we're out of this currency war right now. And they, after a day or two or five before, they said, we're going to keep pegged to the euro. They bailed on that and said, we're out. And the Swiss franc rose 40% against the US dollar in 13 minutes. Now, what's interesting is how violent that market move was, and it destroyed several hedge funds. It destroyed several hedge funds. And also an interesting article is George Soros, who is clearly has he has the moniker the man who broke the Bank of England, and he also bet against the devaluation of the Mexican peso and made $1 billion in a day many years ago. So one of the things that happened with him is that he bailed out of the Swiss franc just at the last moment. I don't know, smacks to me or speaks to me that it might have been a manipulation, or he might have been given a heads up, if you will. So in the course of that, where and what and how should we do? How should we retool? How should we prepare ourselves over the course of the next little bit for the next step or the next stage of our time here on good old planet Earth? Now, we've talked about the validity of gold and silver and why they are a great hedge. And we're also seeing all of the financial talking heads, many of which are very sound in their observation. But one of the things that they profess to do, which is a bit contrary to my thinking, not because it's not sound, but because it is the old paradigm of thinking, and that is this. You should be in the stock market, you should be in the bond market, you should be at this, that, and the other, and then you should have in your portfolio 10 or 15 or 20% of gold. Well, Jim Sinclair is of the mind that we should be getting completely out of the system, and I have a tendency to concur with that thinking. One of the things that these financial advisors have not given enough attention to, perhaps, is the very definitive fragility of the system we're in. So one of the things that happened in the last financial meltdown in 08, they all got together, all the guys who got worried got together and went to Paulson and the Fed and the Treasury, and they said, we have to bail this bank out, otherwise the entire banking system's going to fail. But they also threw Lehman Brothers under the bus. So there was the sacrificial lamb. Interesting, they didn't say that, but there was a sacrificial lamb. But what has happened now is that the banks should, when the next collapse comes, they don't have any place to turn in terms of the Fed like they did last time. And so what will happen is the government's financial well-being or delusory capacity to weather this next storm is compromised. So there's nowhere for it to go. So in the course of the system breaking down, and as Rickert said, an avalanche is coming. You don't want to figure out, you don't want to preoccupy yourself with the minutiae of figuring out which snowflake starts this avalanche. You want to figure out how to protect yourself. So being in the stock market at this point in time is akin to the phrase, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And that is, you to think that the stock market has any more to give is a bit delusory in the fact that it has some aspect of returning to the proper functioning of its original intention. And that is, the stock market should be a free and open and clear marketplace where we can play and we can participate in a various thing, okay? So now, in the course of a collapse, okay, in the course of a collapse, gold and silver are unbelievable safe havens. And in the course of a collapse, that may prove to be, it may prove that it is, we cannot recover from this collapse, and a new system needs to be put in place in order for us to move forward. And that, I suggest that is a very real possibility. And to think otherwise, I think, might be a bit naive. Now, the other thing that has presented itself, which is what I spoke of in China, is their shadow banking exposure, but also there's a shadow banking in the U.S., okay? So, and this shadow banking thing is coming back to haunt it, and now poses, again, a huge potential threat to the American financial system. And this is the IMF's warning, but it has also done the same in China. Okay, so we now have the Chinese being exposed. The Chinese exposure to their shadow banking system, I think, is larger in terms of the Chinese GDP, but it's also equally mirrored in the States. Okay, so we have an enormous amount of shadow banking, lending and borrowing from non-bank players, which is extremely difficult to track. All of this speaks to how safe gold is. Now, the systemic risk that I was making reference to goes like this. You may have your finances in the stock market and bond market, but if those systems collapse, it's not like you can go to your broker or go to the bank and say, I want my money out of the bank. I want my stock certificates in various companies. The system itself will just fold. The New York Stock Exchange will cease to exist. The NASDAQ will cease to exist. A whole bunch of these companies will cease to exist because they will be bankrupt. There will be no marketplace there for them to operate. So all of a sudden you think you have $100 or $100,000 or $1 million worth of value in the stock market. It disappears in the blink of an eye. So, interestingly, that is something that the financial advisors don't tell you, merely because they're hedging their bets and they might be wrong. But we don't see a system that gets into the intensive care like this recover. This is a death spiral. So, you know, let us be ever mindful that if you're prepared to run the risk of losing all you own in financial assets, then it's okay to be in the stock market. However, the best insurance I would suggest that one can have is gold and silver, true precious metals, productive land, and real assets. So now I've got another. There's a guy named Evans Pritchard, and he was in Davos. So the central bank prophet fears that the quantitative easing, this printing, and the warfare is pushing the world financial system out of control. And this, a former bank of BIS, which is the Bank of International Settlements, one of the former chief economists, warns that the quantitative easing, the money printing in Europe, is doomed to fail and may draw the region into even deeper difficulties. Now, this was the same guy who foresaw the Lehman Brothers calamity, and he talks about, I mean, the economic prophet who foresaw the Lehman crisis with uncanny accuracy is even more worried about the world's financial system going into 2015 Beggar thy neighbor devaluations are spreading to every region, and all the major central banks are stoking asset bubbles deliberately to put off the day of reckoning, as we call this the kicking the can down the road. This time emerging markets have been drawn into the quagmire as well, corrupted by the leakage from quantitative easing in the West. We are in a world that is dangerously unanchored, said William White, the Swiss-based chairman of the QE, Quantitative Easing, CD's review committee. We're seeing true currency wars, and everybody is doing it, and I have no idea where this is going to end. As James Rickards would say, it will not end well. And Mr. White is a former chief economist to the Bank for International Settlement, the Bank of Banks, right? He said the global elastic has been stretched even further than in 08, and the excesses have reached almost every corner of the globe, which is exactly what I was just talking about, okay? So now, one of the things that I've been chatting about is how manipulated and compromised all of the markets are. Now, before I go there, I wanted to chat a little about how safe or how rare gold is relative to currencies, because currencies can be printed. Gold cannot be made up. It has to be mined, and it only grows at a very tepid 2% a year in terms of the globe supply. Now, gold is very, very rare, and I think I've said this before, but if you took all of the gold that has ever been mined in the world from time immemorial, you took all of it, it would fit onto the center court of Wimbledon. All of the gold in the world is 21 cubic meters. You think of that. It's not very much. It's rare. It is really the only true currency. It is what money is. Everything else are fiat. Everything else are monopoly dollars. Now, in the course of the Swiss franc doing this, in the course of there getting to be some upset, the price of gold started rising. And in fact, the price of gold up until today was up 8 or 10% in the last 3 weeks. And then what happened will certainly make you go, of course, but it should also make you shake your head. And that is this. In the course of today, we've seen the price of gold drop $12 an ounce, which is not a big amount. It's all 1%. But it is the powers that be saying, oh my goodness, this is starting to come down around our heads. They're starting to flap their arms. Okay, so again, we come back to the manipulation of the marketplace and its fragility, and also the fact that it is lunacy, absolute lunacy, to think that the markets are not manipulated. We are seeing it over and over and over again in the court system. We're seeing it in every country, and we're seeing it by the big banks. They're starting to pay billions of dollars in fines, but not admitting their guilt. Okay, so money market manager Michael Pento says, we live in a world now where free markets have been completely obliterated. You can't find a free market left on the planet, and that goes for commodities, equity markets, currencies, and particularly goes for the bond markets. Now, if the bond markets were traded transparently and everybody viewed the credit risk to the various places, the U.S. debt market would be trading their face value. The debts, the bonds wouldn't be worth anything because they know that they can't be paid, and they know that they're going to be paid off with monopoly money. So the bond markets, even more so now, do not represent any vestige of reality whatsoever. And then he writes, and this should be apparent to anyone with a pulse or an IQ better than a retarded amoeba. It took me a while to read that a few times because I was laughing so hard at its verity and its astuteness. So on the recent Swiss National Bank move to remove the cap from the franc, Pento says, it's the steady erosion of the lack of faith we have as investors now in central banks and fiat currencies. In the case of the Swiss National Bank, they could no longer peg to the euro. Their currency dropped 12% against the dollar in 1 year. They did not want to suffer what was going on to occur with the European Central Bank's decision for massive quantitative easing. It's going to probably get announced on Thursday. So, I mean, he wrote this a day or two before this. It didn't get announced. I will predict even more chaos if it doesn't get announced. If the European Central Bank money printing is not big enough, Pinto says things will blow up. Pinto also says if they do print enough money, things are going to blow up. As I said, we have created a huge vacuum in the markets. There is no good outcome to all of this. It's just, again, them flapping their arms as they plummet to the ground. On central bank interventions that totally control global market interest, global interest rates, Pinto goes on to explain, now they own the entire yield curve, means it's manipulated. They own the entire sovereign debt market. If they ever stop and let the free markets come in, there's going to be a vacuum, a slingshot in interest rates. They're going to be so high so fast that there will be no revenue left to service debt. That's the sad condition we have across the developed world. Now, Pinto, who wrote a book titled The Coming Bond Market Collapse, predicts a collapse by 2015. He also contends, I think they're going to have to stop manipulating the entire yield curve once inflation becomes entrenched in the economy. Yes, we had inflation in home prices. They inflated the stock market to the moon, and it's unsustainable, and they created a huge bubble in bonds. But that didn't translate automatically yet to rapid consumer inflation. Once that happens, and I would venture that it will be, prices will go up because there's so much money, there's so many monopoly dollars floating around. Once that happens, the central banks are going to have to stop printing, and the vacuum is going to be revealed. You will see interest rates are going to shoot up like a slingshot. If the U.S. had to pay just 7% interest on its national debt, and that's the average going back to 71, we would be insolvent. We would have to pay $1 trillion in interest payments every year. If we had to pay $1 trillion in interest payments, it would be game over. This guy knows what he speaks of, right? He knows what he speaks. Think on this, okay? Now, on gold, Pinto says gold is going up in all currencies because investors are coming to this realization or epiphany that you cannot trust central banks. In 08, we had the Great Recession. We had the bursting of asset bubbles. We had the bursting of the housing bubble. We had the bursting of the stock bubble. And the Federal Reserve came in, and it was not only the Fed. We had central banks from across the world increase debt by 40%. 40% since 2008 on a global basis. And they took interest rates, which were already low, down to zero and negative. People had the audacity to believe that this was going to be successful. They're slowly learning that they've solved nothing. What we've done is we've just made all the problems associated with the Great Recession way worse. As everybody starts to figure this out, everybody's going to be coming back into hard money, and that means gold. What will trigger the next meltdown? I don't know. Pinto says keeping your eye on the land of the rising sun. He figures that the Japanese may blow it up. The Japanese central bank is absolutely going to destroy that currency. And when that unwinds, you're going to see a massive wipeout of equity prices. Then again, it metastasizes. As I said, it metastasizes around the globe. Okay. Do we need to say own gold, buy gold, have gold? Do we need to say that the powers that be have no idea what they're doing? These guys really do not know. And what they're doing is they're playing with a solution that is not only divisive and detrimental to the economy, but it's delusory. It's delusory. So, what's also happened in the last little bit is we have a whole bunch of people running around not knowing what they're doing. And when that happens, you have a crisis. Now, the crisis, in my opinion, has already started. You've got a whole bunch of stuff going on in terms of the European mess. You've got the Ukraine. You've got Russia. And I'm now just rambling. So let us pay attention. Let us note that gold is a safe haven, and I would venture more than 10%. I would venture that it is one of the only insurance policies against the coming or the throes of the collapse that we are in. And I don't want any of you to take this lightly. Please, and thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I will leave that with you. I trust that that in the process of your noodling on this, this has been useful to you. Thank you for allowing us to be of service. And thank you for your attention. This is Jeff Dunphy. It is Friday, January 23rd, 2015. I will chat with you next week.